Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, it's another week of Comics Talk Comedy. Jesse, how you doing, man?
Jeff, good to see you, buddy.
You just made it in the nick of time.
Nick of time.
Yeah, so.
Whew. Live radio.
Good week for you?
Pretty good, you know, not bad. What's new? We did Winston's. Well, you did Winston's last night. It was a great crowd.
You were there, yeah.
It was fun to watch just be murdered.
Yeah, she did really well. Yeah. I think pretty much everyone did well.
Yeah, it was a really good show.
It was great.
Really
and then,
good show.
You did a few other shows, didn't you? Wednesday you did the kickoff for the San Diego Comedian Festival.
Yeah, San Diego Comedy Festival was that on Wednesday?
Wednesday.
That was Wednesday. Oh, no, there was a benefit on Wednesday. I couldn't make it. I wasn't feeling well. But Thursday, okay. I did the featuring spot for Bob Zaney.
Okay.
At the Palace, which was fun.
Is that his real last name?
I'm sure. I think his real last name is Wacky.
Wacky? Or he changed
Robert Wacky?
Wacky. Changed to Zaney, though.
Yeah. But, I saw him once before when he headlined with Harry Basil at the Coronado Laugh Factory when it was there briefly there. And so I'd met him before. He does a lot of sort of, he gets off the mic and leans into people and explains the jokes. He'll actually leave the stage to like harass people and stuff. He's got a Vegas-y thing. He's like dressed up in a suit and he never takes the mic out of the stand, but he'll lean with it and stuff like that.
All right.
It's real like Rat Packy.
Nice.
It was fun. I had a really fun set, featuring for him.
That's good.
I don't know how much he liked me, but whatever.
Whatever.
He didn't talk to me, really.
Yeah, didn't you say, like, he announced everyone's name but you?
He did. I had what I felt was a really, really strong set.
Yeah.
And I was really excited about it. And I got off, and he got up, and he goes, you know, give it up for everybody on the show. No, he didn't say everybody. He said, give it up for Carl Prohaska. He was naming names first and last names,
yeah.
You know. He's like, give it up for Carl Prohaska and Zach Miller and George Salek and Tony in the back with the hummus recipe. And he named everyone but me. You know what I mean? And I had just gone up before him. And so, I don't know. After his set, I told him, oh, that was really funny. That was terrific, man. And he was just like, thank you. He didn't reciprocate or anything, you know. And so I was like, I guess he's not into it.
Yeah, you know? but probably was upset that you did so well, maybe.
Well, he complained on the stage, like, I had to follow five people. Why do you have to book so many people? The funniest thing for me is he started ripping on Zach, which was hilarious. You know, where's Zach Miller? Oh, he's probably outside trying to look cool in that jean jacket. And he was getting in the Palace's ass pretty good, too. It was really funny.
That's good.
So I enjoyed watching it.
That's nice. Are you doing anything else with the comedy festival?
No, not really. No. Just hanging out.
You didn't sign up for the local festival?
I didn't sign up this year.
There was like barely anybody that signed up.
I just didn't feel like competing in anything or being judged by anyone.
Yeah.
But Brandon was cool. He was like, hey, just hit up Zach and see if you can feature for somebody. So I did that. So that was cool. I just like doing it for fun. I'm really not.
Yeah.
I'm over the anxiety.
Oh, and then you did last Saturday, you did the Madhouse, right?
Yeah, I did the Madhouse. Let's see. What was that? That was the Madhouse weekend, I think.
With Dwayne Perkins.
Dwayne Perkins, who was really cool. He was super nice. Talked to me a lot in the green room. And he was great, very professional. He did an hour.
Right.
He was preparing for something. So it was a little strange because Carl did 5 minutes, just five at the top.
Right.
And then I featured doing like 25, I want to say.
Yeah.
But it was like immediately. So you were really the opener. So they were still like seating and taking orders and stuff for like 15 minutes of the set. So it felt like you're opening for 15 and then you're featuring.
So how are your sets on Saturday?
The sets on Saturday were really good. I think the first set Saturday was my best set of the weekend, I think.
Okay. That's normally the best show.
You know what it was? He was late, Perkins, and so they had me stretch. So they didn't light me, so I just kept going. So I did like 30 minutes on that one or more, and that one felt the best. I don't know why.
I always hate when that happens.
They told me right before I went up. They're like, you might have to do more. I was like, okay.
Oh, well, at least you knew.
Yeah.
All right. Well, without further ado, we bring in our guest for this week. Jonay Thompson, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi.
Hey. Hi.
How are you?
Nice to see you.
I'm good. Okay, can I just, because we're like real friends now. It's Jonay.
Jonay.
But it's okay.
Now we're real friends.
I was supposed to ask before.
Jonay Thompson?
Jonay Thompson, yes.
Jonay.
How's it going, Jeff?
Yeah. It's actually
and
Jeff.
Jesse?
It's Jeffrey, actually.
Jeffrey?
I go by Jessica.
And Jessica?
Yeah.
So. Get that wrong.
Did you have any shows this week? Did you do any performing?
What did I do this week? What did I do? Did I do any shows this week? No. I had a weekend of relaxation.
That's nice.
Yeah.
What does that entail?
I went up to Barona and just resort it for a few days.
Did you gamble?
I didn't even touch any gambling. I literally just went to...
Just to lounge.
Just to lounge and give my brain a break.
At Verona Casino?
At Verona. It was like close enough, but like far enough and like free enough, you know, for me to just say, yeah, I'll go. I'll take it.
How did you get a free trip?
One of my coworkers was like, hey, me and my wife, we got tons of rooms. You need a break. Go for it.
So you have to stay with him and his wife?
No, they're actually two women. They're wives. They're, yeah, they're, and, no, they just let me have the room. And
where do you work that you get perks like that? What's your job?
I work at a women's bar, in Hillcrest.
Women's bar or spa? Okay, bar. Okay.
Yeah. It's called Gossip Grill. It's a restaurant bar.
So is this the first time this week you've been around men?
No.
Why? Because it's a women's, but they only allow women in the bar?
No, we got men. We got, but you know, we're far and few in between, but there are a few bars that are ran by women and it's a fun atmosphere. It's
that
like
good.
Cheers meets like Hooters meets like, I don't know, something cool.
Shooters.
But. Yeah.
So everybody knows your breast size.
Exactly. No, yeah, that's how it works.
Everybody knows your boobs.
Your first time, you get a free fill, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Where is this?
Yeah.
It's on University in Vermont, 1220 nice. University Avenue.
We're going to have to cut that part out.
We can't
let them know exactly where it is.
Well, hey, you asked.
What
come
do you
get, come get a cocktail on me, beer, wine, whatever you like.
Nice.
You're a server or bartender?
I'm a host.
Okay.
So,
okay.
I'm like sort of some eyes of the restaurant. I get to see what comes in, what comes out, and
you get a lot of comedy out of that.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I did the restaurant thing for a long time.
It's fun. You get to see a lot.
Jeff, you've been to Verona Casino before?
Yeah, I've been a little while.
A lot of poker there.
It's bad games though at the casinos because it's mostly old people.
Oh yeah,
and they don't really gamble that much. They play too tight, so I stopped going there.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Jeff's a big card guy, so he goes to Verona for that. He doesn't go to relax.
Well, you know, each one, you know, to each its own.
Yeah.
You know, big ballin' in the house.
I do all right.
Yeah.
Doing okay.
I see you.
How long have you been doing comedy now?
It's been 6 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was your first show?
My first show.
Or open mic.
You know what? My first show was actually a contest. Yeah, it was, Jimmy Kimmel College Comedy Search and the Southern California one just happened to be on my campus, and the day of, a representative just stopped me and a group of girlfriends and was like, hey, are any of you ladies funny? We've got this competition. There's no girls signed up. And like, that was the way to get me, just telling me there was no girls. And I'm like, yeah, I was a class clown. I can do this. And I ended up being the runner-up. And yeah, it was kind
of
like
first time out of the box.
Yeah, it was a weird experience.
How many people were in it?
Gosh, it probably was about at least between 15 and 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, did you end up being the only girl?
Another one showed up from Rhode Island at the last minute. So that was
where
cool.
was your campus?
The Cal State Northridge.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, how many rounds were there? Or was
there
it just
was,
one?
Well, this was for that one. So they had different regions. So this was just the Southern California one. Since I didn't win that one, I didn't continue on.
Okay.
But the winner of that one continued on, and I think there were maybe about two or three more rounds.
So you each just went up one time and then they okay.
Yeah, from that night. So from that experience though, there was a booker from the Comedy Store who just started booking me there, and I just never
stopped.
The
Hollywood Store?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Vargas Mason, shout out to him if he's not listening, but you know.
Why? He could be listening.
He could be.
But... She's right, he's not. How did you prepare for your first set, you know, being that it was a contest like that? Did you have material? Had you been preparing to go up before this?
Funny story. There was a comedian who I knew at the time, and I just called him and said, hey, I'm going to go do comedy in this competition. Do you have any advice? And he just said, just talk about what you know. Like, no one can tell you that what you know isn't funny. So talk about your truths, whether that's your family, just whatever, you know. So... the competition was 3 minutes, so I just was like, what can I talk about for 3 minutes that might get people listening?
Yeah.
Do you remember what you talked about?
I talked about like the differences between black churches and white churches. It was really corny. And my experiences, like I had just started working out at the time. I was like 248 pounds. So it was like just kind of like this whole.
Around 248.
Yeah, I around think, precisely 248.
Yeah, exactly, 248.2.
Yeah, you know your heaviest. You'd be like, oh, man, I remember that. But yeah,
I know
it was about
the exact decimal.
Yeah, exactly.
Number.
Yeah, boom. You know,
for sure.
So so you had never thought about doing stand up before then?
No, it was something that I admired. Like I always grew up sneaking, watching like Def Comedy Jam and, Comic View. And, it was something that I thought was hilarious, but I never could see myself doing it. You know, I just would watch and like, how can these people be funny for like 40 minutes at a time? And I didn't realize there's a writing process and like all these things involved. I just really thought these people were just talking for like this amount of time. And I'm like, that is a gift, not my gift, you know? So, but I always just grew up being like a goofball, like just in classes, you know, that was just what I did. So and I got into theater. So it was just a natural
You did
transition.
Acting in high school?
Yeah. I started doing some
like comedic
there.
Or?
I did like some musical theater, did, The Odd Couple.
Cool. So you had some, familiarity with being on stage.
Yeah, exactly. Delivering a monologue, just, you know.
And how did they treat you at the Comedy Store when you were first there at the Hollywood Store? That was like 6 years ago?
Yeah. The first time I was there, man, it honestly, I did the belly room and it was like, it felt like I had done it before. It was like,
really?
It just felt comfortable.
It's a great room.
So you never were really that nervous?
Going into it, I was for sure, but it was like once I, you know, and when I watched my set, I can tell I was nervous, like just speeding through all of my material and all of that, but it was exciting for me.
All right. Well, we'll hear more coming back. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in talk. Be back in 3 minutes. Back.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Second segment. Get the headphones straightened out?
Yes, thank you for that. Oh,
we're good.
Loud. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't realize how tiny your arms are. You lost a lot of weight in your arms.
Yeah, I lost a lot of arm flab.
Can you notice that?
No.
You don't want to talk
this
about
is radio,
your arms?
Jeff.
Oh well, hey, I want
sorry about
to
my
know.
Scrawny arms. I haven't been pumping iron like you.
Oh no, my forearms are
fierce. I have been trying, but do you forearm workouts?
I don't lift weights anymore.
Oh, you don't?
No, just cardio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
got to get those Popeye forearms, I guess. I don't know.
What does that mean?
I need to. You know Popeye?
Oh yeah. I was thinking the chicken.
I need to get some chicken forearms.
I don't know why you need
I don't have the money for Popeye. I'm going to get Church's forearms.
Church's
so
forearms. Well, that's
going to be good.
Yeah. So you were in college and doing comedy?
Yeah. So I started and I got either 2 or 3 years of my college experience. I was doing stand up.
Okay. And that was mostly just at the Comedy Store, or are you doing open mics other places?
Open mics. As well, and
shit, you have 5,000 friends, so you can't add me. That's the story. That's what's going on here.
I have a
look at you,
page.
Hollywood, over here.
No.
Oh, you have a second page?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but I didn't know how famous.
This is radio, Jesse. Come on.
Holy shit. My scrawny arms can't add her on Facebook. This is terrible.
I'll make room for you.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how was the scene? I mean, I've only been up to Hollywood a couple of times. I mean, were you enjoying it because you were so new?
Yeah, and it was cool because with me being in college, I took advantage of being a student and having programming boards. So I started producing my own shows, and what that did was it got me to do a lot of other shows. You know, it's a very community-based thing. So it was like, oh, I'm on your show, come do my show. So I was starting to do different colleges, churches, bars, just wherever, you know. Just if there was a microphone, I would go, and local bars by the college. It was a pretty,
so were you doing music before you were doing stand up?
Just growing up singing like in church and some musical theater, but, actually pursuing it, it wasn't until I moved back to San Diego that I, started doing music as well.
What's the difference between black churches and white churches, by the way?
Oh man, there's a,
this is our first bit.
We don't even want to go.
Really?
Churches are more fun.
They're definitely a lot more involved, and it's like concerts, like full on, like Marvin Gaye is there. Like it's Aretha Franklin is right there. You know what I mean? People still have Jerry curls in the black church. It's really a real time.
Yeah. It seems like more fun. When we were in Chicago, Josh Lawson was looking for a black, like Baptist church to go to there. Yeah, he wanted to go specifically for that. So
It's fun. There's dancing. There's all types of stuff.
A little bit more of a party on a Sunday morning.
Pretty much jamming.
The church I went to in boot camp was a black church.
Oh, really?
It was cool. They played like music videos and like.
Oh, it's real.
It was the first time I'd been around black people, so it was pretty exciting on that front.
The best of both worlds.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. Like, wow. I never went to church before that.
Oh, you hadn't?
I mean, when I was little.
So you're like, why doesn't everyone go to church? It's so much fun.
Yeah. I don't know why it can't be fun. Yeah.
You're right.
I think there'd be more religious people.
Right.
You know, it was more fun, I think.
That's a good point.
So are you a religious person? Is that an important part of your life?
I have much more moved into spiritual, way I live my life, so I don't religiously go to church.
You believe in ghosts, is what you're saying?
Spirits. I've got some guardian angels and things like that. Where
it's nice.
Absolutely, I believe in the spiritual realm.
So, why did you choose to move back to San Diego?
Eviction. you know, it was more like San Diego chose me. Let's be real. No. yeah, that post grad life brought me back here. Finding work. LA is one of those cities where if you don't have it figured out, it's not the place to figure it out. You want to go back home and do that type of thing.
Okay.
So with San Diego just being 2 hours down the road and feeling like I had built enough connections to the point where I could function in both cities, I just came back. And initially I thought I would come back for a year and want to move back, but this is much more me right now. Mm-hmm. And figuring out just a lot more about myself and my craft and where I want to take it and things like that, where it's a little, San Diego gives you some space to do that.
You have more stage time too, right? I mean, yeah. You can practice a lot more and then be ready when you go up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How did you get hooked up with Keith Soul?
Keith Soul, we met at the Comedy Store. He was, we ran into each other in a parking lot and came up that he was from San Diego. So from that moment, we just kept in contact we were flip-flopping in cities. Like, one of us was moving here, the other one was in San Diego, but we always still would work with one another, and we started producing a show together, which, right. Like, really, it was like one of those things where we just had so many similar visions that we're like, let's do it.
So you guys combine a lot of music and comedy in the shows. Like,
yeah.
How do you do that?
Does Keith do that too now?
I don't think Keith sings.
No, Keith does not sing, but you know, Keith has an amazing voice that is very great over music.
He does rap. He does. You know?
He's got the smooth jazz voice.
Yeah. I love that. He's great. Yeah. Is he still Renee's roommate?
Yeah.
Are they still, yeah.
Yeah, they still live together. So
the odd couple, all right.
Have you met Renee?
Have I met Renee?
Renee Lancaster, French comedian.
He works at the store up there. Very, very short individual.
Extremely French.
Mm. Very short.
It doesn't ring a bell, but
I'll show you a picture.
Yeah.
Please do.
During the break, and we'll see if you remember him.
Yeah. So, shout out to Renee.
Yeah. You don't know. So do you guys have any shows coming up?
Yeah, we are going to pick it back up in L.A. in March. We're believing the 15th at the Improv, and we're going to start a San Diego show as well back up. Well, we were doing it here, but we needed a venue, so...
Is he still involved in the roast battles a lot? Have you gone to see him do the roast battle stuff?
We've run into each other there a couple of times. I'm pretty sure he's still
part of the wave. Yeah,
yeah, so. The wave is. Yeah, they got me suckered into that the last time.
Did you do it?
Yeah, Jamar got Jamar Neighbors. How he can just make anybody do anything.
So funny.
Yeah.
What's this wave you speak of?
The Negro wave.
Yeah, it gets real. I was like, why am I even?
I think it's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
It's.
Can you tell me your experience with it? What you did and
I'm actually
how that
embarrassed,
went?
So I'm not going to.
I love it.
Yeah.
You're embarrassed.
I am embarrassed
because Jamar got you to do such crazy shit.
Yeah, you know that's what he does.
Did he jizz on you?
I'm not going to say anything.
He did that to Jeremiah Watkins. Yeah, with glitter or something.
Oh shoot!
No,
shoot
silly string.
Silly string all over his chest.
I love Jamar. I love him. He's like the little brother that I never wanted.
Is he older than you?
I know, exactly.
Oh my God, he's so funny. So you can't talk about that. It's sealed in the vault now that your experience
is with
the
Never happened. Like the Men in Black eraser thing. I don't even, huh? What?
So you're not going to do it again then, I guess. That was it for you.
I mean, I'm not, I never say never.
Well, that's good. How often are you getting up to LA now?
Just whenever I'm called to go. Like, that's my thing. And then if I'm going up, I still have a ton of family and friends, up there. So if I'm out there, I'll just try to do a show while I'm there, make it worth my while and get some stage time, visit some of my old stomping grounds. And
right. What are some of the good open mics and stuff for people like coming from San Diego that want to go up to LA, get some stage time, but maybe they can't get on at the Laugh Factory, the Improv, or the Comedy Store or something? You know, I know there's a lot of rooms.
There's Marty's in North Hollywood, and that place you can go up as many times as you want. You just pay $5.
Okay.
And they have an audience?
It's usually comedians who are the audience. There's a ton of bars on Sunset as well who, some are like mixed. So they'll do some poetry and comedy.
I thought you were going to say men and women, not just.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just a women's bar.
No.
Do you think that doing the open mics is really, it's worthwhile in LA, even if it's like 3 minute spots to get up and do a bunch of them and, you know, get up there and be seen by people around there?
Yeah, I think it is important, especially if you haven't quite made connections yet to get those longer sets. You got to start somewhere, and just meeting other comedians in those spots. I have noticed a lot of comedians are startups, you know, we'll start our own show, you know, so through an open mic, you can get now 15 minutes set somewhere else or.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely worth it.
What it seems like to me, every comedy show, it starts with like people getting tired of doing an open mic and they're like, well, let's do our own show and then get more time.
You know? Cause open mics are tricky and you know what? It's really what you put into it. I mean, if you don't go on there prepared, it is kind of just a waste of time. But if you go on there with like, okay, I want to see how this bit's working and you kind of get a response, you may even get some comedians to punch it up right there.
Right.
So it's. It can be
so
pretty
it can
worth
be worthwhile.
It. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How often are you doing open mics in San Diego?
I honestly don't do them as much as I would like to. I'd say I get up maybe about once a month or if that for open mics, you know, but like just shows. I do a lot of shows, but just the opportunity to say, hey, let me go work out this new bit. I don't make it to as many.
When you're doing shows, do you try to incorporate new material too?
Yeah, especially if it's like hosting, that's a perfect opportunity to just try it out. You don't have anything to lose. Like it's hosting.
Right.
It's
would you do like a new joke in between comics, or would it be like in the hosting set at the top of the set that you would try new stuff?
I typically do mine like up top. Like I like to just get my time out the way and just.
Would you open with something brand new, or would you put it later in the middle? Like what's your strategy for that?
I like to put mine in the middle. I like to start with something I know works just because it's, you want to capture the audience up top. And audience is so fickle. Like you got to get them, you know, and knowing that I can close with something strong is also a good feeling, but.
I'm always of that same opinion, but we had Paulo Gatta on, and he opens with the brand new shit, and he like forces himself to sell it that way, which I was impressed with.
I think that's a good idea because you can be more excited about it.
Yeah.
You know?
But what if it fails and you then have to do 40 minutes afterwards?
Well, it can't fail that bad. No. I mean, you never know. It could.
Your opening thing, though.
Well, I get what an opening thing is. You got to go to break. You go to WSRadio.com, worldwide leading talk. Be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Third segment. So how do you go about writing? Do you sit down and write, or you work it out at on stage?
Well, inspiration strikes me at weird points. So I just write it down immediately, like whether it's a text message or a notebook, and then I go back and develop it either fully on stage or at home.
Okay.
But usually just starts with like a premise and then I'll get to it when I really can, you know, but I at least jot down the premise.
But you don't set up like, let's say 2 o'clock, I have to write from 2 to 3.
No, I probably should try that, but
Most people don't.
I've heard that before, but that's hard. Yeah. I don't know how you
and
do
it
that.
it doesn't work like that for me.
Yeah.
Like
you write, like you don't type, you write first. Is that what you think?
There's a mixture. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll do my notebook and then take it back and put it in my computer. Like I like to keep a catalog of just like, okay, this is all my material on dating. This is all my material on family. This is all my material on socioeconomics, whatever, you know, but just keeping it all organized so that if I know I have a 15-minute set, that's sort of this type of event, or a 30-minute set, this type of event, I could just kind of have a frame.
I used to do a spreadsheet, and I had different categories.
Fancy.
I don't do it anymore.
Damn,
but,
spreadsheets, yeah, that's like...
It would be like jokes and categories. So this is family stuff, this is food, this is whatever, music, and it would just... Mm-hmm. Add jokes to the bottom of the list.
It's just good to know what you have, because when someone does say, hey, can you do 45 minutes? You can actually look and go, yes or no, you know?
What's the longest you've done?
45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
How did that feel?
It went by faster than I thought.
Okay.
There's some moments where you're like, okay, you know, that's not all A material. Some of this is in the B, C, but you know, just getting your time in. And
did you bring a set list?
Bought a set list, and with the set list for me, I just do that just so that I'm comfortable knowing I prepared. But like that, it always changes sometimes where it's like, I don't stick to the set necessarily, but just knowing I have it.
Right.
It's like a security blanket or something where it's like, okay, you know, you have it. Like, but,
So how do you feel about black rooms?
Black rooms?
Like, do you do well or do you feel comfortable doing them? Cause we've had, like, I think Keith said he didn't really feel comfortable in them. And then Adam Connie, do you feel like you're comfortable in that situation?
I'm comfortable in any room, to be honest. Like, that's just my life. Like, in that, not just in comedy, just, I've been in a lot of different worlds and a lot of, you know, where it's not hard for me to be in the element that I'm in and just still be what I, you know, initially when I first started, I did have some fears of doing like, an urban night in comedy is what, you know, with the PC term, I guess, is what they call
chocolate
it in Hollywood.
Sundays.
Chocolate Sundays, Mo Betta Mondays, you know, this is where you
Do
get more
one
of the,
for every day?
Tripping on Tuesdays, crack 'em up Thursdays. Yeah.
That's Zach Miller's show. Whip 'em out Wednesday.
Whip 'em out Wednesday.
That sounds like some freaky stuff. That sounds like,
Mad Dog Them Titties Mondays.
That sounds like some other stuff.
So at this point, you feel comfortable in it?
Yeah, I feel comfortable in any room.
So do you work clean?
I do. I do work clean.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you can still pull that off in the urban environment?
Oh, yeah. I think the one thing I expect about urban rooms is that it's a real crowd. You know, it's not.
Sometimes
it's
more
not
conservative,
very,
too, I've found. Don't you think?
It can be.
Like, if you do disgusting stuff. I've seen comics do gross shit. It doesn't fly at all.
Yeah, it just depends on where. You got to know your crowd no matter where you are. Because, I mean, I've been in some, like, really, really stuffy rooms just throughout California. And some where there was, like, completely, like, people could talk during your set. People threw money when they liked your jokes, you know? So I've been in all different types of,
Did you perform at a strip club?
That was in Compton. It was in Compton. It was great. Oh yeah. The family room.
So if you, it's like instead of a standing ovation, they would make it rain. Is that how it worked?
It was pretty cool. And like we got paid and like the most amazing chicken dinner. And like it sounds, no. They sat it down real nicely for you.
Do you know what
fries?
Do you know what trill means?
Oh yeah.
You do?
I'm trill. Yeah.
Jeff used trill on stage
trill.
Last night.
I got trill.
Jess B was very impressed.
One of Jess B's friends told me that I was trill.
Yeah, you're trill, man.
And I told one of my black friends that, and she didn't know what it meant.
Wow.
So, well,
I still don't. What does it mean?
Trill is like real.
I think
like
it's just
trill.
Real.
Yeah, trill. I think listen to some tip, some T.I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't even know. Q-tip?
No. T.I.
T.I.
Oh, they call him Tip. Great.
Yeah, that's one of his names.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
He's
each
pretty
one,
gully,
each
pretty
one.
Gangster.
Yeah,
in other
gullies,
words,
yeah.
We should not use.
Gully's good. I like Gully.
Trill.
The gully.
You're the trillist now.
That's what I'm going to go at. This next comedian coming to the stage.
He's
the trillist comedian in San Diego.
Trillist comedian.
Yes.
That's good.
I love it.
That's good.
San Diego's trillist comedian.
Yeah.
He whistles while he twerks.
Yes. I love this.
And Nova. I don't know what that means. Anyways.
You know what it means, Jeff. Stop acting brand new. You tell me about your girlfriend. I know. I know she'd be teaching you some stuff.
She's not my girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry, girl. Okay. I'm open.
That's how trill he is.
Yeah. He got girlfriends.
It's not even his girlfriend. Yeah.
Nah. All right. Yeah. So, how about the weather we're having out?
He did a Trick Daddy joke last night. I think is how he got called Trill. Was a Trick Daddy reference.
Yeah. Right? I love Trick Daddy.
I miss him. Poor out.
I think he's still alive.
Is he still alive?
No, he's still here.
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, we got to go to Florida.
He's on the DL.
No, he's not.
Well done.
Is he?
I don't know, but
no,
that was a good usage though.
Well, Trick Daddy sounds. Yeah, he could be.
Anyways, so you bring up Florida. Have you performed on the East Coast or mostly just California?
Yeah, I did Florida Atlantic University a couple years back, and that was fun.
Okay.
That was
wow,
fun.
A university. What was the size of the crowd for something like that?
You know, it's so funny. It was a huge theater, but there was not a turnout.
Really?
Oh, sorry. Is that like wrong to say on air?
No.
It was a great turnout. Everyone was just...
the show was Trill.
So Vargas Basin doesn't listen to the show, but the Florida Atlantic.
I know, I know, right? You know it. Trill talk.
It's worse, less people in a huge room, right? If you had had many people at the belly room, you would have been fine.
Yeah, right? I'd rather it be like we shouldn't have been in this big theater. It was like a 500 seater and probably 35 people.
Wow.
So it was.
We almost did that in Baltimore.
And I had to do, I think that was the time I had to do like 20, 30 minutes. It was tough, but I got my money.
So how did you get that show? Were you part of NACA? Or?
I don't know how real we want to get on this show, but it was sometimes.
The word is trill.
Yeah. Sometimes, and I'm not going to say, but sometimes ladies in comedy, there are men who figure out ways to get you to do their shows.
That's how Just Be got on Winston's last night.
You know,
night.
So it was like, I'm not, I wasn't, I was a.
She's here.
I know. She's in the room right now.
Jim Hayes did the same thing, so it's all good. So.
I was a guest of, I featured for a young lady who, a young man had a crush on her and was on his school programming board. It was like, let's do a comedy show. And she was like, I'll come, but I need to bring an opener. So I went. And it was great.
So you didn't have to do anything.
I didn't have to do anything.
The other girl.
I don't think she did anything either, to be honest. But like when we got there, that's when the truth came out. Like he was like, "Oh, the real reason I brought you here."
Huh.
Mm. I'm like, that's weird. But yeah, it happens, and it was a learning lesson.
What did she do about it? How did she react to that?
She didn't care. She got her money too. We get this money. We're not here for anything else.
Did you have to be, did she?
Has her bra strap off?
I know, right? I know, I'm not a prostitute, guys. That was just irony.
Yeah,
get my money.
Get this money. I'm glad this is radio and not video.
Yeah.
Keeping the studio trilling.
I know. It's getting hot in here.
It's nice. Lucky you didn't need the jacket that you brought.
Mm-mm. Looks like it.
So is that the only time you're on the East Coast?
For comedy, yeah.
Okay. Never done Maine, huh?
No.
It's a comedy hub we did.
I would love to. I want to do some more traveling this year with my comedy. And
okay.
Yeah.
Do you have an agent or anything?
Nope. Not for my comedy, just acting commercial.
Okay.
Stuff,
yeah. Oh, cool.
So you have headshots and resumes and stuff, that stuff?
Yeah.
Don't seem too enthusiastic about it.
You know, it's cool. It's but like I'm here in San Diego, so that's a whole nother. You know, if you want to be auditioning every day and all that in Los Angeles.
You need to do it there.
Yeah, so
but
right
do you,
now
you do it here too, though. You audition for things and acting roles
every now
here.
And again. Every now and again, I go up for calls, but I'm just not as you know what I mean.
Okay,
so no. I need to.
So when you go on these auditions, like we've had other people that do acting, is a lot of people that look just like you?
Yeah, sometimes, and that's a weird feeling. Like that was really weird when I first started. I'm like, this is spooky. Everyone in here looks like me. Yeah.
And then you have to separate yourself from them somehow. When you audition for them.
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff are you auditioning for?
Lately, I've been doing kind of my own auditionings too, but doing more comedy related projects because I was just getting a lot more, for for commercial work.
And have you done a bunch of commercials in the past?
I haven't booked any. Yeah,
okay.
Just gone.
But you have auditioned
auditions.
For a bunch.
Yeah.
Of what kind of commercials did you audition for? Like, if you remember any of the weird stuff, like products that you were gonna. We had who's the Viking we had on?
Ryan Mervis.
Ryan Mervis, who was doing.
Mainly like it would be stuff for like background work. So they would need like the secretary looking girl for like a insurance commercial or.
Okay. You
know, so not even really speaking.
Not
roles.
Even, not too many like real life.
You're
like
behind flow and progressive.
Yeah, it was
and,
just like, you know, more scatter. but, you know, we all got to start somewhere.
Definitely.
Right. But then there was, I got up top like a lot of web series auditions and things like that, that, I think, yeah. Oops, is that time?
Well, we got 23 seconds.
Where do you find the auditions for that? Is that Craigslist or there?
No, it just kind of depends. Like, for me, my agent would send a lot of my way, and then there are times where friends may hear something.
Okay.
So there's different ways to get into a room.
Well, we're going to find out how you got that agent on the other side of the
screen.
You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. See you back in 30 minutes. Bye.
Keep in a trip.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Final segment.
We should bring that up, what she said in the break, though. I thought that was kind of good advice there.
About the headshots.
Just B was just saying about headshots that, because we were saying, well, we bought headshots, you get the photos for a certain amount of money, then you have to print them somewhere. Where do you go? And she was saying, you go to Target, and they can print really nice ones for cheap there. So that's pretty good advice, I think.
All right.
Target.
What do you know? So, how did you actually get your agent in the first place?
A friend of mine referred me. He was signed with the agency and set up a meeting for us, and the meeting went well.
So she had never seen you perform or do anything?
No, it was just based off of looks.
Just based on the look. Was
so
it for
that's
modeling,
an interesting
or?
Thing. Like, that's, you know, I'll just be honest. Like, for some people, I get weirded out by stuff like that. Like, I really want people to like me for me, you know,
right.
But
not just
appearance, you know, I really want you to know what projects are going to suit me well and things like that.
And how long ago was this?
This was a few years ago, like maybe about 2 years before I moved back here.
Okay. And so. You had said recently, I don't know how recently, but you've lost weight.
Yeah.
Since you got the agency, and what did something happen that you wanted to lose weight or?
More just like health wake up calls and like, you know, just I had to get healthy. Like I know initially for me, when I had tried to lose weight a ton of times, but it was always for like the vanity purposes. I'll be honest. Just like I wanted to.
Did you have swollen forearms that you needed
to
reduce?
You know, I did. And you know,
you're not going to let
it's a problem. It's an issue.
It's you know, it's
it
pretty,
happens.
It's more common than we know. And,
Yeah. And how long did it take you to lose? I mean, how much did you end up losing?
I lost I was 248 and I'm 180 now.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So and that took you how long?
About a little over a year.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just, you know, started with, I cut out a bunch of processed foods and that really was what. So I'm thinking I may not have ever really been fat. I may have just been swollen all these years. Like, that's what I come down. Like, I think it's just like, I don't even,
they're
you know.
They're just vibes. That's what
like,
I say.
Like, they were just, you know, that was just inflamed. Mm-hmm. Like, this was not. I'm like, that wasn't fat. That was, you know.
Inflamed. I'm on fire. Damn, that girl inflamed, yo.
It was inflamed.
Damn, look at that ass. That ass is inflamed. I gotta get that inflammation.
Yeah. You know, just, so.
Well, congrats.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's great.
Do you
Thank
feel
you.
Better?
I feel so much better.
So you just need some ibuprofen to just bring that down. You're good to go.
And now I'm good.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what's a typical week for you?
A typical week. So I do some work at my bar, do some tutoring.
What are you tutoring?
I tutor some kids at the church I grew up in, so mainly in English.
Okay.
And so I got some 8-year-olds, 13, 15.
Is English their second language?
First language, but you know, just need a little more push in school.
Okay.
To get there, you know.
Is that a volunteer gig or do you get paid for that?
I get paid.
That's nice.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
Is that once a week or?
One day a week.
Okay.
Thursdays. I do some music. I do some writing, hang out in creative spaces as well. So, What else do I do? I do some fitness, you know, go
what do
for
you do
walks.
For fitness?
I usually just go through Balboa Park and walk it on out.
walk it on out.
Yeah, walk down. I don't want to tell y'all my route just in case there's
some stalkers.
It's a lot
stalkers. Of secrets. She has a lot of secrets.
She's mysterious. Mysterious. Mm-hmm. Mysterious.
Am I mysterious? I hear that sometimes.
Yeah.
Mysterious?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Because I'm still wondering what happened on the wave that you were on. I still want to know.
You know what? What happened? It was like a Ray Rice reenactment, and I feel really bad because...
Was it right after it?
Close enough. And yeah. I really shouldn't be joking about domestic violence because I wasn't expecting that.
No, I wasn't expecting that at all.
Yeah. Have you guys ever been in an abusive relationship?
I think Jeff has.
Yeah. They suck. They suck when you have to like beat them every day, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's
they don't shut up.
Huh? I've never hit anyone.
I've never hit anyone.
And I've never
Me neither.
No.
It's all, no, I don't believe in, I am a person of nonviolence. Yeah. I'm a very Gandhian type of approach person.
I agree. So when you had to do that for the roast, you felt bad about it, I'm sure.
Well, you know, it's comedy. Mm-hmm. You leave the feeling bad until after you do it.
Right.
You
that's
know?
What I mean, though. But
like,
you feel
know,
bad
it's like,
now.
This is, you know, but yeah, it's fine. I feel bad about a lot of things I do and say to people.
You have a lot of regrets?
No, I have zero regrets. Okay. Except for the wave. No.
Except for the wave.
no regrets. Nope. Not even like losing my virginity. I don't even regret that.
No.
No.
She had a weird situation with that, mm-hmm. which we bonded over.
Oh, really? Did you have a weird situation with that, too?
No. Wow.
Was it you guys got together first?
No.
I wish. If I could do it all over again, I would have did, Jeff.
Yeah. Was he a white guy?
No. Not like that, but no, I couldn't let my first time be with a white guy. Come on, Jeff. No.
You know, once you go white...
everything is right.
That's the last time you can do that.
No, he was a beautiful chocolate brother.
Nice. That doesn't sound so bad so far.
It sounds like a beautiful love story, right?
Okay. It's a long story.
Yeah. Well.
Anyways, we're coming up to the end now. These are the generic questions we always ask. What is the worst show you've ever done?
Mm.
Mm. So, you know how I am a clean comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one day that didn't happen because real life happened and there was a heckler who got on the stage and took the mic out of my hand.
Where was this?
This was at a 420 event. I should have known better.
How long ago was this?
This had to be about 3-4 years ago.
Okay. So everyone's stoned and rowdy.
And, the thing was, it was one of those things where they had so much going on. They wanted to have live painting going on. They had TVs on. They had DJs on. They wanted comedy. They had all these things, but there was no flow to it.
Where was this? Because I did a show.
It was in Los Angeles.
Just like this.
It was like a random house. And it just was really unorganized, long story short. So by the time they started the comedy show, which was supposed to be the first thing, which they started 4 hours late, by the way.
That sounds about right.
And it just, you know, it was already frustrating. I had gotten all these comedians to volunteer to perform and it was already like not a good look.
Right.
And so the DJs show up and they just think it's time to plug in and get ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So when the DJs was like, nobody wants to hear this comedy shit. This is corny. Just, you know, and I just snapped.
Yeah.
And I mean, I caught this man every type of, it was bad. And, you know, I made a point and, I'll never forget, but yeah, I snapped.
Wait, that was after he came up though and took the mic away,
yeah.
right?
So I was give me the mic back.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't even, you know, I cuss in my regular life all the time,
right.
but when I write, I leave it out, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And,
that's a lot of nerve though to come up and take the mic.
Oh yeah,
from
it
you?
Was a lot. So it got personal and like he wanted to fight me by the time
what?
I was done destroying him. Like he was ready to fight. I mean, came up to me, was like, don't you ever try to embarrass me. I was like, you embarrassed yourself. And it was, you know, it just got really real. That was my worst show.
Yeah, that's
bad.
Stay on our good side. What is the best show you've ever done?
The best show I've ever done. I've had some fun ones.
What's the biggest crowd you think? Like the most amount of people that have been there.
I used to do like host things in college. So mm-hmm. like 1500 wow. to 500.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And those normally went well?
Yeah, those ones are fun. That like when they're like really packed, those shows have always been fun.
But there's no one that sticks in your brain?
I just did a taping a few months ago and it was at a theater in Los Angeles. It was great. It was a great experience.
What is the taping for?
It was, what's the name? We Got Next. We Got Next. And it's going to be on Magic Johnson's network, Aspire.
Really?
TV. Yeah.
That's
and
exciting.
It's, from the producers who did, what is that? Def Comedy Jam. So the same casting guy,
oh, cool.
Bob.
Coming
Sumner.
Up to the end.
How much time did you get to do on that? Sorry.
10 minutes.
Okay. 10 minutes. Where can people find you?
At John A. Thompson. So Jonnae Thompson.